This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is April 19, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, Play Sportscast. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter, thesportscast1, and check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West, and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. I am joined tonight by Bob Alves, high school sports commentator, public address announcer for the Lynchburg Hillcats, host of the Sports Fan, and multiple other jobs and activities. How are you doing tonight, Bob?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I am doing pretty well and looking forward to some of the stuff we get to talk about today. First of all, before we get into sports, I wanted to bring up how in the Lynchburg area, they just lost a head track coach, assistant football coach, Rufus Knight. And while I never met the gentleman personally, I've heard from a lot of people that were athletes from Heritage that he's going to be missed because of how he would invest in people and not only help them to succeed in high school, but also beyond. So it's a shame that he passed away, but it means that he definitely left a great legacy behind.
Yeah, Coach Knight was on Doug Smith's staff at Heritage in the early 2000s for football, and then assisted in track for a long time before becoming the head track coach as well. But I haven't met anybody that said, you know, anything, but Rufus Knight is going to be sorely missed around Heritage. Not only a great coach, but also a meaningful teacher as well. As you know, in the high school realm, you're not just coaching. You got to teach, and you're not only impacting your athletes, but you're impacting your students as well.
Yes, sir, that is true. And while that is another big thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention what happened 16 years ago at Virginia Tech. How unfortunately we had 32 students who were killed. And even though we had the shootings at Michigan State and UVA this year, unfortunately that was the first one in college sports that people really can think about and know about. So that was a shame when that happened, and I remember that when that happened. How about you, sir?
Yeah, I remember I just started working at WSCT as a production assistant, which I did for like a year or two, and I was trying to, like, you know, check on my friends on Facebook who I may have interviewed when they were in high school sports, because I'd been out of high school for probably, oh wow, a few years, let's put it that way. But I'd still interviewed some of the kids that had gone to Virginia Tech. A few of them went to my old high school at JF, some went to Brookville in the Lynchburg area. So it was a very sad day. And that's one of those things to where, you know, you don't want to politicize it just because everybody's got a choice on that. But no matter what your feelings are, you got to respect the tragedy, just like the other tragedies in the world. I mean, it's called a tragedy for a reason. And that is a very, very dark day, but definitely going to be remembered in Blacksburg and throughout the Commonwealth for forever.
Yes, sir. Very true, very true. That, unfortunately, I knew somebody who passed away, and I've never forgotten about that. It still is a shame, and I still think about them often and just how it is. So that way they will never be forgotten again, and just how when they are thought of, it's always in a positive way. Even though one thing I will not forget is the Frank Beamer, when that happened, he canceled the spring football game for the first time, and I don't think he'd ever canceled it as a coach before since he'd been to Tech.
Yeah, it was definitely a, you know, and that was kind of the first moment where we really had to, you know, sports kind of took a back seat, and so did everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was something that I'll never forget, because for the friends who unfortunately passed away, I went to the funeral, and what they did is they had Tech students there, because after the shooting, basically, they just canceled the rest of the year. They just said, go home. Yeah. I mean, you can't really blame them, because trying to go back to school after that, it was nearly impossible, and it just, it was a shame. And I mean, that's why every year they always do a, I believe they do like a run every year for it.
Yep.
And a few other things besides the spring game. So that was just something I wanted to make sure that we would talk about, because, well, it's something we'll never forget. And as college and humans, it's something that really needs to be brought up every year, just in memory of the students who were tragically killed. And the teachers, too.
Yeah.
But why don't we jump into happier things now? How does that sound?
I'm ready to be happy.
Okay. So I don't know if you were watching ESPN this week, but one of the things that was on, they had the bowling tournament, the college bowling. And it was the final against Vanderbilt and Arkansas State. Now, I know what you're thinking. Bowling's not exactly the most exciting thing in the world. Arkansas State had been up. They started out with a 2-0 lead because it was best of seven. They got it to a 3-0 lead. They were at 3-2 when they were leading. Unfortunately, they couldn't hold the lead, and Vanderbilt came back and won in the seventh game.
You know, I'll tell you what. I was in a bowling league for a spell of my life, and I was on the team because you needed one bad bowler. So that's why I jumped in. But the thing about that is, after you bowl three games, you get a little bit tired. Mm-hmm. So to come back from that, I think, is phenomenal. And whatever can get you into school. Because, I mean, when you get your top bowlers, I mean, you're getting some money. I mean, it may not be a full ride, so to speak, but you're getting some money. So props to those kids who are, you know, and let's be honest, too. You're not going to find a lot of people from college bowling going to make a living on professional bowling to where that's all they got to do. So congratulations for, you know, I hate to say using the system, but, you know, congratulations to get into college, have something that keeps you going, because, you know, anytime we can find an extracurricular, Alan, it keeps us out of trouble for the most part.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So that's true.
Congratulations to all the teams. And, you know, like you said, I mean, dude, it's not easy. And if you look at it, I normally have a lot of respect for people who can do something very well that I can only do good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was actually watching the final, and just watching how they came back. The thing that was funny was one of the commentators, her daughter was on the Vanderbilt team that won as a freshman. Okay. So, I mean, that had kind of a personal aspect of just, I would say, heightened it a little bit and just made it cool. But it just watching them, how they were going back and forth.
Right.
I thought it was pretty cool and a highlight of the weekend, although, like I said the week before, with Quinnipiac beating Minnesota for the title, it was 3-2 in overtime. For Quinnipiac's coach, it's his first title in 29 years there. The thing that was big about that was Quinnipiac won the men's hockey title, and the Connecticut men won the men's basketball title, and that was the first time that happened since, like, 1977, which, when they both went in the same state, that's pretty impressive to me. I don't know about you, so.
Well, and Connecticut's not the size of California or Texas. No. So to do it from a state like that, yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. And I don't know about you, but to me, hockey is one of those sports to where it's addictive. I mean, and especially once you get into tournament hockey, playoff hockey, overtime hockey, it's almost like if you don't have batteries in the remote, that's okay, because you're not going to turn the channel.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, sometimes it's a little bit harder to watch during the regular season, but I mean, when it comes to tournament time, even though you know that people always talk about the men and women's tournaments as the main things, but also you're starting to see people watch the Frozen Four a little bit. Then also coming up, we got the Super Regionals for the women, and then we got the College World Series for the men. I mean, it's going to be pretty good. And then also lacrosse is something you always want to look at as well.
It used to be a situation to where you would watch your college bowl game and you would watch the NCAA Final Four. And I mean, you know, people will look at you really weird, but there used to not be all the first and second round games of the NCAA tournament weren't on TV. I mean, you know, they were on delayed or they were on cable or, you know, it was regionalized. So they would do cut-ins a lot. So that's before we really got into it deep, but it's very weird of how, you know, I think the thing, and not to get off on a tangent here, but, you know, if you look at your college football, I'll use as an example, your big schools used to be able to recruit the best players because Nebraska was on TV every week, Notre Dame was on TV, Miami was on TV because they were the good schools. But now every Power Five school is on every week just about because you've got the SEC network, the ACC network, regional sports networks. So everybody's on TV. So if somebody wanted to say, hey, I can't get attention because I'm going to XYZ school. Well, no, you are going to get attention because, you know, I mean, everybody gets attention now. I mean, even the Liberty Flames signed a contract with, you know, ESPN Plus to where, granted, they do most of the games in-house to where they produce them and everything for the home games. But still, I mean, you got to think, you've got about five or six home games a year. That's half your season. So I think it's a great thing that more college sports are on, especially with the ACC network, the SEC network. I know Texas had formed their own network. So, you know, you can even see what I would call the Olympic sports, which is softball, baseball. I have two friends that pitch in the ACC, Eden Bigham at UVA and Millie Thompson at Clemson. Fun fact, Millie and I share the same birthday, by the way. But you can now watch UVA and Clemson softball play, you know, regular season games to where that would used to not be an option at all.
That is definitely cool. One other thing this weekend, I don't know if you saw, but there was the women's gymnastics that happened. Oklahoma won their sixth national championship since 2014. That's pretty impressive. And then Florida has a gymnast, Trinity Thomas. This is her last event to compete. She got her 28th career perfect 10 score.
Wow. I can't even tell you 28 things I've done good, much less perfect.
Well, I mean, that's why when I was taking a look at some of the information here, that was one thing I saw. I was like, yeah, I think we got to bring that because that's pretty impressive.
Sure.
I mean, sure. Hats off for I believe it was UCLA, Florida, and Utah were the four teams that made the finals. So, I mean, it turned out really well. But, yeah, Oklahoma, they literally just took control in the first rotation. It was over after that. They never gave up the lead, and it was a battle, but still they were able to hold on. So, congratulations to the Sooners for that.
Yep.
Also, taking a look at men. Another thing, men's college skiing. You see that Utah won the 2023 skiing championship, so congratulations to them. Just because I want to try to hit a few sports we don't always get to today, but one thing I did want to mention, since you know we were pretty in depth about the NFL draft last weekend. We had the WNBA draft the weekend, a few days before that. So I don't know if you saw that draft or not.
Yep.
So you saw that Leah Boston was the first pick, like everyone thought.
Right.
Then Diamond Miller went second. Then Maddie Segrist went third. Stephanie Suarez went fourth. Lou Lopez Senechow went fifth. Haley Jones went sixth. Grace Berger went seventh. Letitia, Am I Here, went eighth. Jordan Horston went nine. Zia Cook went 10. Abby Myers went 11. And Maya Hirsch went 12. And that was just the first round.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, if you look at LSU too, I think LSU is going to be very good next year, as they are in the running for Haley Van Lith, who is transferring from Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I did see that. And I was just taking a look at more of who was able to be drafted. Ohio State had the first player in the second round, Taylor Mikisell. And I see Virginia Tech had a Kayana Traylor as pick number 11 in round two. So, I mean, I was more just trying to see. And Taylor Soul is third pick in the fourth round. South Carolina had, I believe, four or five players drafted altogether for the WNBA from that team. So I'll be curious to see how Dawn Staley sets him up for more success in the next year, and just seeing what happens, because they had a heck of a year this year, even though it didn't end the way they wanted. It'll still be great to see how they're going to, I don't want to say bounce back, but how they're going to reload and start the next year off. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think you hit on the word right there. It's reload, not rebuild. South Carolina also had a defection on the coaching staff, as well as Dawn Staley's top assistant. I want to say went to Kent State. I was trying to look it up. It was somewhere in Ohio, I believe. But, you know, and you don't think about how much the coaching carousel, you know, which is one of my favorite carousels to watch, is when you lose not only a lead assistant, but, you know, your right hand. And I know for Nate Oates, at Alabama, he lost all three assistants. So at the same time, you want your assistants to go on and get head coaching jobs. But at the same time, it's some continuity that you're losing within your team.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, that's why you see in football every year how it's in some way it's kind of like a jack in the box, because you're going to get coaches that are going to be there for maybe 1 year. Sometimes they'll stay for a few years, but the question is, if they don't get paid more, how long are they going to stay? That's just how it seems like for part of it, just when you're watching it.
Fred Chimmel, he went to Bowling Green State.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, so, I do remember hearing that.
And, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, when you're a team like South Carolina and many others and you lose your top assistant, obviously people want to come, you know, hop on the train. Now, you're not going to get a head coach unless it's a head coach from a smaller school, but you're not getting a head coach from a P5, but still, you're going to be getting quite a resume or quite a list of people who have resumes much better than me.
Of course. I mean, and they're a lot better than me too, so you're not the only one.
Now, one other thing I want to touch on real quick before we get off the carousel is former Liberty assistant coach and UVA assistant coach Kyle Getter left to go to Notre Dame as Micah Shrewsbury's lead assistant. So he was at Liberty with Richie McKay. He was with Tony Bennett as one of the lead assistants at UVA, but now he's the associate head coach at Notre Dame under Shrewsbury. And you know, the other funny thing, and I would like to get your take on this real quick, is key people leaving the coaching, like Mike Rhodes, for instance, who leaves VCU, Penn State, Ed Cooley, who left Providence to go to Georgetown. Well, you see some of their players just flocking with them. I mean, the transfer portal, like we've talked about with some of our some of your guests in the previous weeks, Something in that transfer portal is out of control.
Well, did you just hear that the transfer portal, the second part for college football, just opened?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're already seeing different people, including, I know that Ohio State lost a kicker, and I saw there was like a quarterback for another school that already left too. I mean, I'm waiting to see how it kind of ends up, because I think it was actually Wisconsin quarterback. No, it was Minnesota quarterback who left. So, I mean, seeing the second part, it could be pretty interesting. That's why I just started watching the transfer portal for college sports. It's kind of live by the sword, die by the sword right now. So it's curious to see how it's going to end up.
My favorite thing to do used to be to speculate on new coaches, where they would go, and free agents, where they would go. But it's gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. It's gotten, yeah. I can't even keep up anymore with, you know, like if you quizzed me, if we played Quiz Bob or Stump Bob on college basketball, which used to be my main thing on college basketball coaches, who's there now? I can't keep track because people are leaving so often. I mean, even with the P5s, I mean, granted, I don't watch as much as I once did because of my little Rugrats, AKA children, AKA dependents. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to keep up just because, I mean, obviously, yeah, you had Krzyzewski at Duke for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where I live, obviously, I'm going to be more enthralled to the ACC. You being the Ohio State guy, you're going to know the Big Ten a lot more, but dude, get me out into like the Big 12 or something. And, you know, even though there are only 8 teams in the Big 12, I'll bet you I could only name 4 head coaches, maybe 5.
Okay.
So
don't worry. Another day we'll test that day when I could do that today. Don't worry.
And I don't wear that badge with honor anymore. I mean, you know, because like I said, and you know, even with your favorite team nowadays, I mean, you can't just pay attention from August to November, December, because that transfer portal is out of control. So,
I mean, there are people that leave the transfer that'll play a game on Saturday and go in transfer portal on Sunday. So, I mean, it just depends. It is out of control, but that's, they wanted to try something new, and now we're going to see if the NCAA is going to be able to control it, or if they're just going to be kind of throwing a fit and then just kind of giving up for how they're trying to set certain things up, I guess. Is
right.
At times, it almost seems at times like the NCAA does not have institutional control for themselves for what they're trying to set up. And I mean, now you've got Mark Emmer leaving, got the new head coming in, so we're going to see how that goes. But that in the Big Ten, they got a new commissioner coming in, but it just, it's kind of wading through the carnage and seeing what's going to be thrown in and what's going to work or what's going to fail.
It's super hard to get control when you have so many conferences. And, you know, I mean, it, I don't know. It's just, it's hard. I'll say that. It's hard to get control.
I mean, I'll be curious to see how it goes, but you know what? I am not going to sweat it either way. That being said, one other sport that I thought about that we haven't talked about at all that I figured we should jump into for just a few minutes, college tennis. And so I decided to take a look at the women's tennis first. I did not realize that the North Carolina Chapel Hill women, they're having an undefeated season right now. They are 27-0.
Pretty good.
Ranked number one. Yeah. You have Texas A&M at number 2 with a record of 25-1. You got Michigan number 3 with a record of 19-3. Georgia's number 4 at 19-4. North Carolina State's 20-4. Duke's number 6 at 22-3. Stanford's number 7 at 17-2. Pepperdine is number 8 with a record of 14-3. Ohio State's number 9 with a record of 16-6. UVA's number 10 with a record of 17-5. Iowa State's number 11 with a record of 16-4. Texas Austin's number 12 with a record of 18-4. The U is number 13 with a record of 14-6. Oklahoma's number 14 with a record of 18-8. Tennessee Knoxville is number 15 with a record of 18-4. Auburn's number 16 with a record of 18-7. Florida is number 17 with a record of 15-6. Oklahoma State's number 18 with a record of 14-6. UCLA is number 19 with a record of 11-6. Georgia Tech's number 20 with a record of 13-8. Arizona State University's number 21 with a record of 16-5. University of Washington number 22 with a record of 15-7. Notre Dame's number 23 with a record of 15-9. University of Wisconsin-Madison number 24 with a record of 16-5. And Florida State is number 25 with a record of 15-9. Now, Bob, when I was looking through all these, I only saw one school out of the Power Five conferences, and that's Pepperdine. Other than that, I'm seeing ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, and Big 12. Now, I'm not going to say that's dominance, but you can definitely tell which schools are able to do better for recruiting for certain sports. Is that fair to say?
I absolutely think that's fair to say. And most of those places that you named, too, also have weather that is desirable. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them. Yeah. So, you know, it's a case, too, to where people are going to go to where, you know, and tennis is one of those things to where you can get a lot of home matches in if it's not, you know, freezing cold. So I mean, a lot of those places are getting their matches in just because you're not having to worry about bad weather.
Exactly. So let's jump over to the men's side and got a shock for you here. So we have University of Texas Austin. At number one with a record of 21-2. Ohio State's number two with a record of 24-2. TCU's number three with a record of 20-2. University of Georgia is number four with a record of 18-5. University of Kentucky's number five with a record of 21-4. South Carolina's number six with a record of 19-5. University of Michigan's number seven with a record of 20-3. UVA's number eight with a record of 21-4. University of Tennessee Knoxville is number nine with a record of 20-6. Harvard is number 10 with a record of 17-5. University of Southern California is number 11 with a record of 14-7. Duke's number 12 with a record of 18-5. Columbia is number 13 with a record of 16-3. UNC Chapel Hill is number 14 with a record of 17-7. Mississippi State's number 15 with a record of 19-6. Arizona is number 16 with a record of 19-5. Stanford's number 17 with a record of 13-7. Florida State's number 18 with a record of 17-7. Utah's number 19 with a record of 20-3. Wake Forest's number 20 with a record of 22-10. Texas A&M is 21 with a record of 16-10. Auburn's 22 with a record of 17-10. NC State is number 23 with a record of 15-8. Florida's number 24 with a record of 13-12. And Illinois rounds out the top 25 with a record of 17-9. So for the men, seeing two Ivy League schools up there, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. And, you know, Don't sleep on the Ivy League in any sports because, I mean, you know, obviously you've got some Ivy League schools that are stellar in lacrosse. I think we know what the Ivy League schools can do in basketball. Mm-hmm. So there's always some Ivy League schools that can make life a nightmare for other conferences and schools.
That's true. And Bob, you jumped the gun on me, but that's a great thing, sir, because I was actually about to go to lacrosse next and take a look at the top 25. So let's jump into the women first. We have Syracuse number one with a record of 15-0. Northwestern number two with a record of 14-1. North Carolina number three with a record of 11-3. Maryland number four with a record of 12-4. Boston College number five with a record of 12-3. James Madison's number six with a record of 14-1. Loyola Maryland's number seven with a record of 12-2. Denver's number eight with a perfect 15-0 record. Florida's number nine with a record of 11-3. Stony Brook's number 10 with a record of 10-3. Notre Dame's number 11 with a record of 11-4. Virginia's number 12 with a record of 10-5. UConn's number 13 with a record of 8-5. UMass is number 14 with a record of 13-1. Army West Point is number 15 with a record of 12-2. Marquette's number 16 with a record of 13-1. Michigan's number 17 with a record of 10-6. Drexel's number 18 with a record of 10-4. Johns Hopkins is number 19 with a record of 6-7. Penn State's number 20 with a record of 11-4. Villanova's number 21 with a record of 10-4. Actually, yeah, Villanova and Pitt are both tied, ranked at 21. Pitt's record is 8-4 on the year. Yale is number 23 with a record of 9-4. Liberty's number 24 with a record of 8-6. And Navy rounds out the top 25 with a record of 12-3 for the women. So I think that we could say, at least for the women, we definitely have some more parity right now.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Which is definitely good, because seeing how you've got the Patriot, the A-Sun, the Ivy League, the CAA, the AAC, the Patriot League. If I said that again, apologies, but I mean, just watching how you got all the different schools, that's great to see, because it means that come tournament time for lacrosse, we're going to have some upsets people aren't going to see coming. It's going to be like March Madness, except people aren't going to bet as much on it. Jumping into the men's side, we have Duke number 1 with a record of 11-2, Notre Dame's number 2 with a record of 8-1, Virginia's number 3 with a record of 8-3, number 4 is Johns Hopkins with a record of 10-4, number 5 is Cornell with a record of 9-2, Maryland's number 6 with a record of 8-3, Georgetown's number 7 with a record of 7-3, Penn State's number 8 with a record of 8-3, Yale's number 9 with a record of 6-4, Penn's number 10 with a record of 5-5. Rutgers is number 11 with a record of 8-4. Denver's number 12 with a record of 7-4. North Carolina's number 13 with a record of 7-5. Villanova's number 14 with a record of 9-3. Vermont's number 15 with a record of 7-4. Ohio State's number 16 with a record of 5-7. Utah's number 17 with a record of 8-4. Clemson's number 18 with a record of 5-5. Syracuse's number 19 with a record of 8-5. Michigan's number 20 with a record of 5-6. Army West Point's number 21 with a record of 9-2. UMass's number 22 with a record of 7-4. Lehigh's number 23 with a record of 8-3. Loyola Maryland's number 24 with a record of 6-5. And Boston University rounds out the top 25 with a record of 8-3.
You know, I think I could have probably guessed your top five right there without looking. And what that says is just tradition. And, you know, people might not know a thing in the world about Johns Hopkins. But mm-hmm. if I said, name a top five lacrosse team, somebody's going to say Johns Hopkins.
I would have said that, or I would have probably said Denver, just because they both have done very well come tournament time.
I'd have thrown Cornell out there, too.
Cornell. Yeah, that too. Cornell or Syracuse, yeah. So, I mean, it really just depends. But, I mean, that's the good thing about how it is. We're seeing how the teams are starting to shape up and how they're going to break away later on in the year, which is definitely a good thing.
Yep. And I mean, just think about the ACC, because you listed, I believe, the top three all ACC schools. So think about the ACC tournament before you get into the NCAA.
I mean, it's just like how the men's tournament is for basketball. It's always something we always love to watch.
The semifinals and some of your power fives, depending on the sport, are better than some of your finals in your, maybe, I don't want to say your smaller conferences, but like if you take the power fives out, then go to your conferences 6-10, maybe. So, I mean, you know, sometimes your semifinals are about what their finals would be.
All right, and so I was
taking the real winner is the fans, too. Mm-hmm. The real winner is the fans, because they're going to get some high-quality games before the NCAA.
Well, not only are they going to get high-quality games, but it's just seeing not only who's going to stay, because, you know, you've got the draft right afterwards for the Major League Lacrosse. You're going to see who's going to want to stay and who's going to want to leave, and you're going to see them go for it and just make sure that they show everybody their best. I mean, I'll give you an example, Bob. College hockey. A freshman from Michigan won the Hobey Baker Award. He had, I believe the other people that were in contention for it were two people from Minnesota and one person from Quinnipiac. But a freshman was able to dominate this year and win the Hobie Baker. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's always great to be in fans so we get to watch the games and see how they turn out. But then being able to see other stuff that comes up makes it even better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of better, I know that we got softball. And you know that in a couple of weeks, it's going to be super regionals. So, I mean, that's something that we got to start getting ready for a little bit, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, once you get out of the – you got to think all your college baseball and softball tournaments, when you've got those regional and super regionals and regionals,
mm-hmm.
double elimination. So, I mean, the team has got to lose twice. So it's not one of these, I don't want to call it freak things where you can have one bad day and you're gone, but you got to lose twice. So if you lose that first game, you still got another shot when you're mm-hmm. playing in the loser's bracket.
That's true. That is so true, sir. Real quick, while we go through a quick rundown for the top 25, we got Oklahoma at 39-1 at number one, UCLA at 39-4 at number two, Oklahoma State at 39-4, number three. They may drop since they lost to Wichita State. We're going to wait and see on that one. That was a huge upset. Tennessee is back in the top five with a record of 34-5. Florida State's number five with a record of 35-8. Clemson's number six with a record of 40-5. Texas number seven with a record of 36-9-1. Stanford's number eight with a record of 31-9. Washington's number nine with a record of 31-9. Duke is number 10 with a record of 36-8. Georgia's number 11 with a record of 33-10. Arkansas is number 12 with a record of 31-12. Alabama's number 13 with a record of 32-12. Florida's number 14 with a record of 31-11. LSU's number 15 with a record of 34-10. Oregon's number 16 with a record of 28-11. Northwestern's number 17 with a record of 28-9. Utah's number 18 with a record of 29-8. Baylor's number 19 with a record of 34-10. Kentucky's number 20 with a record of 25-13-1. Auburn's number 21 with a record of 32-13. Virginia Tech's number 22 with a record of 32-12. Wichita State's number 23 with a record of 36-8. Texas A&M's number 24 with a record of 26-16. And Louisiana's number rounds up the top 25 with a record of 32-33-12.
Oklahoma has lost one game, like you mentioned. It was to Baylor, and it was a 4-3 game back mm-hmm. on Sunday, February 19th. When I just scanned through Oklahoma's softball rankings, they have only played in five. They've won five one-run games. Lost one, and everything else is, you know, 5-6 runs. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you look at it that way. I mean, that is phenomenal in my eyes because Oklahoma's, you know, 34.
Yes, it is.
When it's not a one-run game.
Absolutely. No, and I saw that they put out the top 25 for the USA Softball Collegiate Player of the Year. They've got the top 25 players for that. Well, you've got 5 players from Oklahoma alone that are on that list. And of the five, three of them are pitchers. Because you have Jordy Ball leading the way is with Oklahoma as a pitcher. Caleb Beavers, Central Arkansas, as a pitcher. Rachel Becker, Oklahoma State infield. Maya Brady, UCLA utility. Valerie Cagle, Clemson pitcher/utility. Nigeri Kennedy from Stanford pitcher. Aaron Coffle, Kentucky infield. Jada Coleman, Oklahoma outfield. Megan Faramo, UCLA pitcher. Montana Fouts, Alabama pitcher. Alex Honnold, Missouri outfield. Tiare Jennings, Oklahoma infield, Taylor Kern, Indiana infield, Bailey Klinger, Washington infield, Kayla Kowalik, Kentucky catcher, Kelly Maxwell, Oklahoma State pitcher, Nicole May, Oklahoma pitcher, Sydney McKinney, Wichita State infield, Kiki Malloy, Tennessee outfield, Maddie Penta, Auburn pitcher, Ashley Rogers, Tennessee pitcher, Catherine Sandercock, Florida State pitcher, Alex DeRocco, Oklahoma pitcher, Elena Vodder, Stanford pitcher, and Skylar Wallace, Florida infield, round out the top 25.
And, you know, it's funny because if you look in let's go to high school real quick, high school softball, one pitcher was throwing everything. I mean, you only needed one arm. In college, you mentioned it. I mean, you got about three or four arms that pitch. And, you know, it's weird because, like, in high school softball, I mean, you could see somebody get shelled for four or five runs. And I call that shelled in high school softball. If that happens in college softball, you're bringing in relievers. So, I mean, most of those relievers, you've got to think, are probably starters when they pitch in high school. So it's a weird dynamic how things shift from high school to a college if people aren't aware of it. It's just different.
Well, here's another thing that you're going to find kind of interesting. When they're looking at the highlights for that, you have 4 5th-year graduate students, 8 seniors, 10 juniors, 1 sophomore, and 2 freshmen spread across 16 different universities and 7 athletic conferences. I mean, when it has the SEC leads in representation with 6 member schools, Pac-12 has 3, ACC and Big 12 have 2, the AAC, ASUN, and Big 10 each have 1. I mean, that should tell you partially all you need to know for how the year is and how it's going to be come Women's College World Series and Super Regional time.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the real winner, I think, in a lot of these things are the fans, because they're getting high quality. And, you know, a lot of people, Alan, might not watch some of the sports that we've been mentioning today, but they're still, when they do watch them, they're going to see high quality games at a level to where, you know, I'll be honest with you, every now and again, I'll be called to announce a high school sport that's like, you know, that I don't see very often, lacrosse or so on and so forth. I'm seeing it on a local high school level to where kids are, you know, playing for the love of the game. And, you know, not everybody's going to Division I. You multiply that times like 50, maybe even 75 when you watch a D1 lacrosse game. And the speed is phenomenal when you watch a Division I athletic event, to where if you don't see it, if you see maybe high school or D3, the biggest thing I think that you'll see different is the speed.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, that's why I was taking a look in baseball right now too. And apparently the key game for last week was West Virginia beat Oklahoma State at Stillwater. And so Oklahoma State, they're now out of the top 25 with back-to-back series losses. So they hold an 8-7 record in series for Big 12 play. So come NCAA tournament time, that could be a factor on if they make it or not.
Yeah, I mean, those Friday, Saturday, Sunday series are big, especially in your P5s, because you're playing teams that are really, really good. And, you know, even if you're not in the Power 5, you got to think about it this way. You better win that series in your conference. Tuesday's normally that, I don't want to call it... Tuesday's that one game where you're playing somebody offshoot. So a you know, a non-top 25 team might be playing a top 25 team. And guess who the pressure's on in that game, in my opinion? It's on the top 25 team to win. Because if you lose to a non-top 25 or even a below 500 team, that can be killer.
That's true. That's definitely true. While we're here, why don't we talk about the men's top 25? Let's run through that. We have LSU at number 1 at 29-6, Wake Forest number 2 at 31-5, Florida number 3 at 30-7, Vanderbilt's number 4 at 29-7, Arkansas's number 5 at 29-7, South Carolina's number 6 with a record of 30-6, East Carolina's number 7 with a record of 28-8, UVA's number 8 with a record of 31-6, Stanford's number 9 with a record of 23-10. Coastal Carolina's number 10 with a record of 23-11. Campbell's number 11 with a record of 27-8. Louisville's number 12 with a record of 26-9. Kentucky's number 13 with a record of 28-7. Texas number 14 with a record of 26-12. UConn's number 15 with a record of 26-9. Texas Tech's number 15 with a record of 25-12. Miami's number 17 with a record of 22-13. North Carolina's number 18 with a record of 24-12. Arizona State's number 19 with a record of 25-10. Boston College number 20 with a record of 24-11. Oregon State's number 21 with a record of 24-11. UCLA's number 22 with a record of 21-10-1. Oregon's number 23 with a record of 24-10. Southern Miss's number 24 with a record of 22-12. And UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, rounds at the top 25 with a record of 28-8.
Yeah, 3 schools I wanted to touch on that you mentioned right there were Vanderbilt, Virginia, and Stanford. Keep in mind, for these schools that have strict academic standards, they may not be as strict for some of your athletes, but it's still a situation to where, you know, we got to be a little bit better than average because, I mean, you still got to get them in.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And, I mean, usually when you look, you're like the hosting for the men's baseball tournaments. Usually UVA is one of the main places where they always have one of the host cities for the teams. So
yeah, Davenport Stadium is a nice place too. I mean, you got to think too, a lot of times when you get into hosting, you've got to have a venue that can hold everyone. And that's a big thing. So yeah, it's it should be fun. And, you know, obviously, if you're a school that's near Virginia, you want to be playing at UVA, as weird as that may sound, just so you're not traveling from, you know, like if it was George Washington or Maryland, you don't want to be going all the way down to Florida.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. And, well, I mean, it's going to be a lot of things we're going to have to watch out for just with how sports are going to be going and just different events, I guess, best way to put it. Also, I was taking a look at some of the draft, some of the predictions, since I know that was something that we were thinking about before. I know that they were looking, and some people are saying that Bryce Young could now be the number one pick over CJ Stroud.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, you've got your quarterbacks that are going to obviously dominate because they are the key position players. You know, I'm not an NFL draft expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I just wonder, you know, when you're taking a first-round guy, you normally want him to be a franchise guy. Mm-hmm. And has our definition of franchise quarterback dwindled over time? I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But, I mean, when you look at, you know, players coming from the SEC out of Kentucky with Levis and out of Florida with Richardson, I mean, you're counting on those guys to be franchise guys. I don't think as many people have that issue with Young and Stroud, but it's a situation too to where quarterbacks are not just passers anymore. I mean, their legs are some of their meal ticket as well. You see that in the NFL with Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, who's now the highest paid NFL player in the history of the game. But pocket passers are going the way of the dodo a little bit in terms of, you know, You gotta have legs. And I'm not saying you gotta be Walter Payton out there running around, but I mean you've gotta be able to escape pressure because guess what? The defensive ends and the linebackers are really, really quick at that level too. So we'll see.
Well, that's true. I mean, one thing I remember is Michael Vick when he was on the same team with John Abraham.
Yep.
He would always comment that John Abraham, no matter how many times he tried to get around the outside, John Abraham would always catch him every time.
The thing Michael Vick hated that. Michael Vick, when he came out, is you're not playing Rutgers and Temple in the NFL.
Nope.
Oh, no. And, you know, I mean, every school. Now, the Power Fives are getting the best of the best. But, I mean, you know, at a certain point, you're not getting the speed you see at the NFL level is going to be so drastically different than what you saw at the college level. And I think that's where people question sometimes. You know, the guy that sticks out to me recently is Carson Wentz. You know, not going to a Power Five college, can he get it done? Now, he's won a Super Bowl. But, you know, I mean, that's the deal. And I see the face you're making, by the way. But that's what you're dealing with in terms of you got to have a guy that has legs. Wentz had legs better than the average bear. But, you know, now he's hopping around for a job.
Yeah, but the thing is for Carson Wentz, everywhere he's been, he's gotten injured during the year. He's been able to come back in big games, but during the regular season, he's always been injured at one point or another, and someone else had to carry the team till he could come back. So that's why with the Commanders, when he went there, they had to eat all the draft picks they gave up for him, and then they just cut him because as much as they wanted to see what he could do once they saw what happened, they're just like, yeah, it's not going to work. And it was a shame. But, I mean, I respect that he won a Super Bowl, that he won two or three national championships in South Dakota State. But the thing is, if you're not going to have durability, you're not going to be in the league. I mean, one thing I saw when I was watching the NFL show earlier today, They were saying the 49ers are fielding calls for Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lance is still going through rehab for his ankle. And one other draft pick we didn't mention for our quarterback was Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're going to see how that goes for him since, I mean, before he tore his ACL, he was, in some ways, I would say he almost was a runaway Heisman winner had he not gotten hurt because of how he had Tennessee rolling. But unfortunately, it happened. And so it's seeing how he's able to go through his recovery and just what he's able to do, because sure, you saw what happened for the different players. Now it's just watching what they're able to do and how they're able to come back from the different injuries and other things they're going through. I'm curious to see that and then see how the draft goes, just because, well, by the time we come back next week, we get our draft show. So that way we can make bad predictions for who's going to be drafted and how high.
Yeah,
you
hit the nail on the head too about, like, I mean, I think you were saying it's absurd that Trey Lance is getting, there's trade offers for him. I mean, you know, if Brock Purdy doesn't play well in the playoffs, we're not talking about this. I mean, you know, but because one guy, like you talked about with your friend Carson Wentz, one guy comes back in big games, plays well, then your top draft pick or your quote unquote going to be franchise guy becomes expendable. Why? Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why some people at times call the NFL not for long. So, I mean, it really just depends on how it goes. But, well, Bob, if someone was going to make a mistake and try and get in touch with you outside of here, I know it is dangerous and probably could be a mistake at times, but how would they do that?
Yeah, we really don't advise it, but you can go to Twitter. The Sports Buffet is your best bet and quickest bet. You can find some people that have my phone number, email thesportsbuffet@icloud.com, the Sports Buffet Podcast on Facebook. And I try to put some of my videos up on YouTube as well. But I normally link everything that I do, whether it's audio interview or video interview, on the Twitter.
I understand, sir. Yeah, no, I do have my Twitter, Alan F. West. I am going to post on there someday. It's a work in progress. So, I mean, that's like the longest running joke on the show right now, is trying to figure out what I'm going to post on there again. So we'll figure that out. I do have Facebook and Instagram, alan.west.46. I mean, we'll see when I post on there occasionally, but usually if it's not something with me and my daughter, I try to just stay off of it. So we'll see what happens. That being said, you can always check on our for the Sportscast at the Sportscast One, or go to our website, thesportscast.net. But this has been the Top 25 Rundown. My name is Alan West. That's Bob Avis. We will see you next week.